Good afternoon, 4:30 and 86 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
Before Connect, Medicaid was a $6 billion program in Kentucky. Before Connect, we had more people on Medicaid than we had kids in public schools.
State Auditor Adam Edelin says rural hospitals have been complaining about Kentucky's Medicaid managed care operators. Edelin says that's understandable because there's a lot of money involved. He was in Moorhead today.
Moorhead police are investigating a shooting death in a city park.
And there was an explosion today outside Lafayette High School in Fayette County.
In sports, the Reds are having another tough day in Milwaukee.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy tonight with thunderstorms likely, lows in the lower 60s. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A bomb planted in a 2-liter bottle exploded in a bus parking lot today at Lafayette High School in Lexington. The school band's color guard was practicing nearby, but no injuries were reported. Fayette County School Superintendent Tom Shelton says two other bottle bombs were also discovered, but were depressurized before they could explode.
We'll continue to work with our staff and law enforcement to find out who, first of all, placed these. We have cameras, and we should be able to access those cameras and see if we can determine who placed these at Lafayette. We will continue to work with our staff to make sure they're adequately prepared to sweep the property and make sure that we are able to determine if any of these other devices are found.
After the blast, Shelton canceled all other summer activities scheduled throughout the school district.
Police in Moorhead are investigating after a 63-year-old man reportedly committed suicide last night at the Green Hill City Park. Chief Mike Adams says Thomas McLean of Moorhead shot himself once in the chest at around 8:30 near the bridge to the park. At this point, Adams says authorities don't know why McLean took his own life.
The investigation is preliminary right now. The officers are still working on it. They've already spoke with family and so forth. And like I said, this is preliminary right here, this information that I have right now, and the full gist of everything. Of course, the coroner's office is involved, also investigation as to why.
Adams says there were two witnesses to the incident and also several people in the park, including some children.
A Powell County man who pleaded guilty to second-degree manslaughter and driving while intoxicated has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. WKYT is reporting that 35-year-old Johnny Moore was sentenced today in the March death of Martha Vivian. Prosecutors say the 79-year-old victim was run over as she stood beside her car along State Route 11 in Stanton. The sentence given Moore was the maximum allowed by law.
A Fleming County man remains jailed after being charged with numerous allegations of possessing and distributing matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. 21-year-old Sean Turney has been held in the Mason County Detention Center since his arrest by Kentucky State Police last night at around 6:30. The KSP says an undercover probe revealed that Turney was sharing images of children engaged in sexual activities online. He's facing 20 counts of wrongdoing. Authorities are continuing their investigation.
About 1,500 Buckeye Rural Electric customers in Lawrence County have had their service restored after copper thieves triggered a power outage Tuesday. It was the third such outage in less than a month. The theft took place at the utility's Scottstown substation. Jennifer James is one of the customers who lost power. She tells WSAZ she's getting fed up.
When it's people vandalizing the substations and stealing copper, it gets aggravating because they're not thinking about other people. They're not thinking about the elderly people or the other people that they're putting through this.
The Huntington station reports that officials with Buckeye Rural have surveillance pictures of a man and a woman stealing copper and hope to identify them soon.
Kentucky's auditor says he's receiving more complaints about the state's managed care program for Medicaid than anything else as he travels across the Commonwealth for a series of forums on the financial health of rural hospitals. Democrat Adam Edelin was in Moorhead today for the fourth of the 10 sessions he has scheduled. Edelin says before Kentucky created its health insurance exchange called Connect after passage of the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid was a $6 billion program in the Commonwealth. He says there were more Kentuckians in the program than there were children in public schools.
The problem was with, so far, the way it's been rolled out has created real difficulty for rural hospitals in particular trying to keep their doors open. So that, and it's extraordinarily complex. And that's why you've got to take the time to go to communities, we're going to 10 of them, to really understand these issues so we can make better judgments about it.
Edelin says after hearing from healthcare providers and citizens, he'll release a report summarizing the problems of rural hospitals and suggestions that have been made for fixing them.
Governor Beshear says rulings Tuesday on President Obama's health care law won't affect enrollees in Kentucky's state-run health exchange. Beshear said in a statement released by the Cabinet for Health and Family Services that premium assistance, which Kentucky enrollees have qualified for, also will not be affected. Within hours of each other Tuesday, two federal appeals courts issued contradictory rulings on the subsidies that help low- and middle-income people afford premiums.
Officials with Federal Mogul say the scheduled closure of its Maysville plant is part of an overall corporate strategy to reduce costs and improve efficiencies. The Michigan-based auto parts company discussed its plans during its quarterly conference call today. Dan Ninivaggi is chief executive officer of the Motor Parts Division. He says mothballing the Mason County facility is in keeping with the process the firm began during the last quarter.
We secured locations and started the build-out of full product line regional distribution centers in Southern California and Eastern Pennsylvania. Shortly after quarter end, on July 15th, we also announced plans to close our distribution facility in Maysville, Kentucky, and integrate its operation into two other existing facilities for increased efficiencies and full resource utilization.
Closure of the Maysville plant will result in the loss next year of more than 150 jobs. Federal Mogul today reported operating income of $100 million for the quarter ending June 30th. That's an increase of $10 million from the second quarter of last year.
The hub of Lexington's mail service is set to close next year, Karen Czar reports.
The United States Postal Service's processing and distribution center on Nandino Boulevard in Lexington is scheduled to shut their doors next year. The Lexington Center is one of 82 facilities set to close in order to save the Postal Service $750 million. The closure means mail coming in and going out of the city would be processed in Louisville or Knoxville. In 2011, the same center was slated to close, but was spared with the help of then-Congressman Ben Chandler, and 184 jobs were saved. The Postal Service says it's lost $26 billion in the last 3 years alone because of a decline of first-class mail volume. Other Kentucky facilities that are on the list to close are in Louisville, Paducah, and Campton. Shutdowns are expected to start this January and be completed by the fall of 2015. Reporting from Lexington, I'm Karen Czar.
Rowan County is still trying to identify a location for its planned new detention center. Judge Executive Jim Nichols says there are still a handful of sites under consideration, and he hopes a little expert guidance will help the county resolve the issue.
One of the things that we hope the architect can tell us in a very short time is what the footprint's going to look like of a 300-bed facility. How much space are we actually going to need? We at the very beginning, we put out a minimum of 5 acres. Now, that was based on corrections estimate of what the property you would need.
Nichols says Rowan County officials want to get a site for the new jail picked out by this fall. Construction is expected to begin next year. Because of a land trade deal a couple of years ago with Morehead State, the county is scheduled to turn over the property where its current jail is located to the university in 2016.
Kentucky Congressman Hal Rogers plans to submit a bill to help resolve the immigration problem the U.S. is dealing with along its border with Mexico. For weeks, thousands of people, mainly children, have flooded into southern Texas from several Central American countries. Rogers says his bill would secure the border, provide care for those individuals, and also pay for taking them back to their native countries. President Obama is asking Congress for $3.7 billion to help with the crisis, but Rogers says there are problems with his plan.
Well, it's too much money, number one. Number two, it assumes that we're not going to ship these people back right away, that we're going to be having to pay for their upkeep up here by the tens of thousands. his proposal assumes that. I don't assume that. We can tweak that 2008 law to allow us to send these people back to those countries, just as we do now send people back to Mexico.
The 2008 federal immigration law mandates that children illegally crossing the border must be turned over to the Department of Health and Human Services to be cared for and advised of their legal rights until their cases are resolved.
Kentucky's senior senator is urging majority Democrats in the Senate to support the Federal Highway Trust Fund legislation passed by the House. Republican Mitch McConnell says it's not a long-term fix for the financially troubled program, but it's vital to key infrastructure projects in Kentucky.
The extension of the Highway Trust Fund could be used to fund projects like the resurfacing of several parkways that many Kentuckians use to commute to work. And it could be used to fund the widening of I-65 between Bowling Green and Elizabethtown.
McConnell says widening I-65 to six lanes will allow for smoother and safer travel in Kentucky. The measure approved by the GOP-led House extends the trust fund until May of next year.
You'll be seeing more family dollar stores selling beer and wine over the next 2 years. Company President Howard Levine says it's part of a corporate strategy intended to draw new customers and increase the value of the average purchase. Levine says the idea has already been tested in certain areas, and the initial results look promising.
As I'm sure you know, there's some states where retailers are not permitted to sell beer and wine, and there'll be some stores that we deselect as given security issues or other challenges from a space standpoint that may not accommodate it. But the results have continued to grow. You know, I'll even tell you, although it's only in about 200 stores, we had our highest beer and sales over this July 4th weekend that we've had since we started the test.
Levine says additional stores will begin selling liquor later this year, with a larger rollout planned in 2015. Family Dollar has a distribution center in Moorhead that spans more than 900,000 square feet and supplies stores in seven states.
And finally, with nearly 2,900 stores around the nation, Goodwill Industries is currently in the midst of dealing with a possible data breach. The intrusion is in relation to payment card processing systems at various locations around the country. However, Heather Heiss with Goodwill Industries of Kentucky says shoppers in the Commonwealth have nothing to worry about.
There are some Goodwill stores that have been identified as possibly having a breach elsewhere in the United States. However, no Goodwill stores operated by Goodwill Industries of Kentucky are affected by this possible breach.
Heiss adds Kentucky's 63 stores do not have the equipment or capacity to store customer payment cards information, but could not verify what states are facing issues. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including Morgan, Wolfe, and Carter counties. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms late. Muggy with lows around 62 degrees. Chance of rain is 60%. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers in the morning. Highs near 77. Chance of rain is 20%. And Friday, partly cloudy with highs around 80 degrees. Currently in Ashland, it's 91 degrees. 83 in Flemingsburg. 86 in Inez. 87 degrees in Lexington. 84 in Winchester, and in Moorhead, it is currently 86 degrees.
It is 4:44. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Maysville is still reeling after a company announced its decision last week to close a plant in the city. MSPR's Zachary Senbisky has that story.
Federal Mogul has announced it will close its motor parts distribution center in Mason County by June 30, 2015. The company says the action was taken because it's facing more challenging business conditions, is looking to reduce costs, and the motor parts division is realigning its North American distribution network to gain more efficiency. According to Mayor David Cartmell, the news was very unexpected.
Well, it was kind of a shock for us. You know, they've been here for, I want to say, over 20 years, been a really good employer, good for the community. It's not just the workers that we feel for, but also the small business in the community. They were great patrons for the community, and, you know, it was a shock. But in these economic times, this jobless recovery, anything can happen.
In a statement made by a Federal Mogul official, the closure of the distribution center is in no way a reflection on the skills and commitment of the workers at the Maysville facility. The Maysville-Mason County Industrial Authority Director Gene Weaver notes the closure means the loss of 157 jobs.
I just feel sorry for the employee, the federal mogul. They got a great workforce. They work very hard. They show up to work on time, and I feel sorry for them. Of course, it's a year away from now, but still, I'm sure it's bearing on their conscience. And if some companies hire husband and wives, which means nobody will have a job, but they might find one in the meantime, so I feel sorry for the employees.
Weaver believes the closing of the facility will definitely have an impact on the area.
Well, it'll have a big effect, really, because these people worked, made good money, and they spent their money locally to retail and everything else here, so it's going to have an impact. It'll have an impact on the city's payroll tax, too. They're going to lose about $100,000 from their payroll tax money.
The facility's 157 employees will not be left without assistance, however. Federal plans to spend money to help retrain them for other jobs, and Mayor Cartmell says employees will have some other options.
There will be several programs here, and of course I've talked to some of the workers who said, well, I don't want to go back to factory work. I'm going to take this time and get my degree and, you know, go into another field. So, you know, even with downsizing or a downturn, there are opportunities.
Federal Mogul opened the Maysville plant in 1993. Current operations are housed in the main facility on Kentucky 9 and a second, smaller warehouse across the highway. In 1999, there were rumors Federal Mogul was going to shut down those operations, but after negotiations with the city and county officials, the company decided to maintain its presence in Mason County. Mayor Cartmell says losing the plant is a tough deal, but his city will carry on and move forward.
Maysville, you know, carries a healthy surplus, and so, like I said before, you never know. There might be a silver lining in this dark cloud because they have a really, really good building out there, a modern, you know, facility, distribution facility, and someone may like to locate here.
Cartmell remains optimistic Maysville can eventually learn another company to replace Federal Mogul, saying his city is very attractive to those in the manufacturing business.
Continue to, you know, have a lot of interest. Maysville is so well located, being on the river and the AA highway between the interstates. So, you know, there's a lot of interest in things here.
Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Zachary Sinviski.
It is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Chase has sports, and he's up right now.
The Reds finish with the Brew Crew today in Milwaukee. Good evening, reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. Cincinnati Reds just finished action today. They're wrapping up a series in Milwaukee against the NL Central Division leading Brewers, who've won the first two games of the set, and mark it down, they've won the third game as well, as they defeated the Reds 5-1 with Billy Hamilton having the only RBI for Cincinnati. It's been a tough start to the second half of the season for manager Brian Price's Cincinnati club, which came into today's game with five losses and five post-All-Star break outings.
We just haven't executed. You know, we haven't swung the bats well. We haven't gotten a quality start. In my opinion, I don't. Quality starts aren't six innings. Quality starts are seven innings and on. That's how I see it. And we haven't played particularly good defense. We've missed some signs. And I just haven't played terribly well.
The Reds have tomorrow off before they return home Friday night to open a weekend series with Washington. Scanning through other Major League Baseball games from midday action, Minnesota took down Cleveland 3-1. Currently, Kansas City and the Chicago White Sox are knotted up at one apiece in the bottom of the eighth inning. Colorado leads Washington 3-2 in the top of the fifth. The New York Mets are up narrowly on Seattle, 1-0, and Detroit is up on Arizona 3-0 in the top of the fourth. Lexington Legends take back to the diamond tonight after a one-day layoff. The Legends look to snap a five-game losing streak as they host the Charleston River Dogs for a three-game series. Looking to right the wrong, Alec Mills will take the hill with a clean slate as he was recently traded to the Legends. The River Dogs will counter with rookie Davis, who is 4-8 with a 4.66 ERA. First pitch will be tossed at 7:05 at Whitaker Bank Ballpark. Just because the Eagles added two more bodies for next season on Tuesday, that doesn't mean Moorhead State baseball coach Mike McGuire and his assistants are done recruiting. McGuire says MSU needs to start planning for beyond the 2015 campaign, and the group recently returned from a long road trip. They got the chance to look at a lot of players.
We were in Atlanta for about a week. Big tournament down there. Worldwood Bat Tournament was going on. 304 teams down there. So, you know, it was baseball 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. For about six straight days there. But, you know, we feel like we're getting a good start on that. And, you know, recruiting never stops. Just the cycle keeps going.
MSU this week signed two high school players, All-State left-handed pitcher Aaron Leisher of Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and infielder Braxton Morris of Albertville, Alabama. While focused on teaching his players the wing tee offense, New Round County football coach Ray Graham isn't forgetting about the other side of the line of scrimmage. During the first several days of preseason drills, Graham says the Vikings have also spent plenty of time on their defense.
We're working basic 50 slant angle defense with a couple different coverages. We're playing passing league too, so we're putting in some, you know, passing situation things too that you'll do when you know a team's going to pass.
Browns defenders have already played in passing league competitions in Moorhead, Grayson, and Frankfort. He wants them ready for full-scale workouts, which begin on August 1st. Even though record-setting quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is now in the NFL, Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino thinks the Cardinals' offense won't skip a beat this fall. Petrino says new signal caller Will Gardner will have plenty of weapons at his disposal.
We got a great group of receivers back, led by Devontae Parker, who's really a special player. We got a very good tight end threat down the middle in Gerald Christian, who also has the size and strength to be a very good blocker to help us in the run game. We've got three senior offensive linemen back that are big physical guys, and a good group of running backs. So there's a great nucleus to build upon.
Last season, Louisville's offense produced averages of 35 points and 461 yards per game. The Cards opened 2014 against Miami on September 1st at Papa John's Cardinals Stadium. Cincinnati Bengals begin their preseason training camp tomorrow at Paul Brown Stadium, and Coach Marvin Lewis believes his team will benefit from a little bit of a different start to those activities.
We had our injured players come back early. When you do that, you're required to have to have the rookies come in, so they've got a chance to spend 2 days in the classroom with the coaches. So it's been good to have the rookies to get four good meetings with their coaches, an opportunity to hear things again, refresh their minds again from where they left off in June.
The Bengals start their preseason schedule on August 7th with a game at Kansas City. The owner of the Denver Broncos is stepping down because of Alzheimer's disease. AP correspondent Jack Briggs has more on the story.
The longtime owner of the NFL's Denver Broncos, Pat Bowlen, is giving up control of the team as he battles Alzheimer's. The team announced the 70-year-old will no longer be a part of the team's daily operations. Team President Joe Ellis will take over after being named the Broncos' chief executive officer. In a statement, the Broncos say the ownership of the team is held in a trust and that the hope is that one of Bowlen's children will one day run the team. Under Bowlen's guidance, the Broncos appeared in six Super Bowls, winning back-to-back titles in 1997 and 1998. This is Jack Briggs.
And finally, with the preseason practices already in full swing, Coach Jamie Gordon of the Moorhead State volleyball team is anticipating the grinds of this year's schedule. With the idea of trying to gain early NCAA tournament experience, Gordon says he wanted to challenge his squad early in the season.
It's quite a challenging schedule for us. We do open up against Radford. That was an NCAA tournament team last year. You know, and then we follow that up with heading up to Kent State, and we've got a couple more NCAA teams that weekend. There's not a single weekend before we get into conference that we're not competing against at least one team that participated in the NCAA tournament.
The Volleyball Eagles will open their season at home as they host the Eagle Challenge, welcoming in Radford and Northern Kentucky. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a wonderful evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Season tickets are now available for Moorhead State football, soccer, and volleyball. Advanced single game and group tickets are also available for football. Single game tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks mostly rose, with the S&P 500 hitting another record as investors weighed earnings from companies including Boeing and Apple. Apple shares rose a day after the iPhone maker posted profits that beat expectations, while Microsoft shares rose after the software giant reported better-than-expected revenue. And tech stocks in general were strong today. And at the close, the Dow Industrials actually showed a loss of 26.91 at 17,086.63. The broader market was stronger, with the S&P 500 again finishing at a record as it was up 3.48 at 1987.01, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 17.68, reflecting strength from technology stocks as the NASDAQ finished at 4473.7. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17 to 12 in favor of winning stocks over losing stocks. Among your Dow Jones stocks today, Boeing led the losers as their earnings came in, of course, somewhat of a disappointment. And actually, 20 of the 30 Dow components did finish down today. On the commodities markets, gold futures for August delivery fell $1.60 to finish at $1,304.70 an ounce, while crude oil futures for September delivery gained 73 cents to finish at $103.12 a barrel, and the dollar rose against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners. Also, the only economic data that came the only economic report that came out today was released before the bell, with applications for mortgage refinancing jumping 4%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. However, the report showed that home purchase loan applications were actually down 15% from a year ago. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 38 cents at 106.48, CSX down 22 cents at 31.13, AEP down 8 cents at 53.97, Marathon Petroleum up 82 cents at 76.61, AK Steel up 11 cents at 9.04, and Windstream was down 6 cents to finish at 10.32. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Low is around 62 degrees. Chance of rain is 60%. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers in the morning. Cooler with highs around 78 degrees. Chance of rain is 20%. Tomorrow night, mostly clear. Low is around 58 degrees. Friday, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 70s. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late. Lows in the mid-60s, chance of rain is 20%. Saturday, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs around 85 degrees. And Saturday night through Sunday, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, with lows in the upper 60s. Highs around 85. In Ashland, it's 91 degrees, 83 in Flemingsburg, 86 in Inez, 87 degrees in Lexington, 84 in Winchester, and in Moorhead, it is currently 86 degrees.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Mike Williams, Jay Scott, Arlo Barnett, Zach Senvisky, and Pat Davis. From WUKY, Karen Czar. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.